what will the premiums be, depending on, is it based on how much you earn, or is it based on just one flat rate, or the insurance company's things?
We know, as of last year, that every time somebody walks through our doors to receive care, either medical or dental, on average, it costs us $147. And so if they're paying $25 for that visit, and we have a lot of those visits, and we have to find those funds somewhere else.
You see that pretty consistently, that there is that concern about how am I going to pay my bill, and they're here to work out some kind of a payment arrangement, and I have no money, and are they going to, you know, make me leave the hospital? So we try and reassure them that that's not our function. We're here to find a way to help serve them.
How much of a true rate support we're going to get for folks who need it, there's a lot of ifs.
They'll have the ability to be competitive in the marketplace by saying, yes, I'm going to be paying you $9 an hour to do this, and I'm going to offer you the health insurance and help pay for that.
We have car insurance that's required by federal government, so maybe it's a similar outcome for folks. Maybe long-term care that you have to pay for will ameliorate long-term problems that we won't have to pay for out of public funds later. I don't know.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to
KMUW's Affordable Care Act. I'm Eileen LeBlanc. Good evening. Thank you for tuning in to KMUW's Affordable Care Act. Thanks very much for joining us this evening. I'm Eileen LeBlanc. I'm the new news director, and I've only been here about 5 weeks or something like that. Starting in September, when I spent my first week or so here, Carla Echoes was already doing a story about the Affordable Care Act, so we decided to do a lot of coverage about it. We also decided at that time to schedule this show, a call-in show where Kansans could find out how the Affordable Care Act will affect their lives, whether they're an individual, whether they work at a business, and answer some of the questions. There's been a lot of coverage about the Affordable Care Act recently, and some of it's been very helpful, and some of it has been kind of ugly. But what we're doing here tonight is we're not going to argue anything political. This is not a debate. We're going to answer your questions about the law, and it is the law right now. So what we're doing here is we've got three extremely good people who know all about this, and they're here to answer all your questions. The phone number is 316-978-6700. You can also tweet us at KMUW. The hashtag for tonight is ACA Answers. So that's ACA, stands for Affordable Care Act Answers. And you can go to our Facebook page, and you can follow a live blog on KMUW.org. We're doing everything except being on TV tonight. So, but this program only works well if you call us. The phone number again is 316-978-6700. So, to the important people, Sheldon Weisgraw is here. He is with the Health Reform Resource Project. Sheldon's been going around the entire state of Kansas for how many months now?
Oh, for about a couple of years now.
Oh, really? And answering questions to large groups and small groups about the Affordable Care Act. And Carla and I went to a forum where he was talking, and that's when I asked Sheldon to come here and help us with this call-in. So thank you very much for being here.
My pleasure.
Maggie Ward is with Via Christi Oncology Department. She has also gone through the training that the federal government provides for navigation through the Affordable Care Act. And she's been working with people since the marketplace went online October 1st, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having
and
me.
Joel Rutledge is an independent insurance agent right here in Wichita, and he's kind of an expert on what insurance companies are offering what to what groups, and also individuals, right, Joel?
Yes, I can help out with a lot of those areas.
Okay. Thank you very much for being here also. Sheldon, let's start with you. We expected by October the 1st that everybody could go on and sign up, and by October the 2nd, you know, we'd be kind of home free with this. What has happened?
Glitch, I think. I think what's going on, Eileen, at least what I've heard, is that the volume of people who are looking for information about their insurance options has far exceeded what anybody thought it was going to be. And so The federal government, to my understanding, built a website that could handle 50,000 visitors at once, and they've gotten more than five times that number. And so they are scrambling to fix the software and to get the system back up and running.
Why do you think that is? Why did they estimate 50,000, and why did we jump to 8.5 million?
I think, you know, I found this interesting. I have been very concerned for a couple of years that there wouldn't be a whole lot of knowledge out there about the law and what's going on. And I think I've been really pleasantly surprised that people are interested. And I think it just shows us that there are lots of people out there who desperately want health insurance. They want to be able to get health care. And this is, for a lot of them, the first time they're going to be able to do that.
What is your advice to them if they're not being able to sign in and sign on right now?
Well, I think right now it's not that critical that people get into the system. You can buy insurance today. You can buy insurance a month from now. It's not going to be effective till January 1st. And so I'm generally telling people to chill. Take a deep breath, wait a few weeks until the system bugs get worked out. If we're still having these problems in a month, then I'm going to be a whole lot more concerned. But right now, I think people can take their time.
Okay, we have our first caller on the line. This is Ken from Wichita. Hi, Ken. What's your question?
Hi. I'm 74, and I'm on Social Security, no other income. And I have Medicare. And the Coventry Advantra supplement, which...
Lou, if you can hear the caller, we can't. So you may have to help us with the question. Can you...
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. We can hear you.
Okay. I have Medicare with the Coventry Advantra supplement, and I wanted to know if there's any need for me to look at any further insurance or if I'm okay with being retired and on my Medicare.
Okay. Who wants to take that?
I'll take it. This is Sheldon. You're on Medicare. You're covered. You don't have to worry about doing anything differently.
Nothing else.
Nothing else.
Okay, well, I hope that answers a whole lot of questions for a lot of people.
Well, I think you might be right, Ken, because we have heard people out in the community here when we were doing our coverage say, oh, my goodness, they better not get rid of Medicare. I've worked all my life for this. Tell us what the law is here, Sheldon. What is...
Well, I think for people on Medicare, you really don't have to worry. There are a few changes to Medicare under the Affordable Care Act. They are almost all to do things like increase your benefits and lower your out-of-pocket costs. And if you're happy with the plan you have on Medicare, you should stick with it and not change a thing. I think the advice I give to everybody on Medicare is take a deep breath. This really doesn't affect you. You're okay.
Take a deep breath for the website and for the thing. Okay, the phone number is 316-978-6700. You can tweet us at KMUW. The hashtag is ACA Answers. You can go on Facebook, and you can also look at our website, which is KMUW.org. Maggie, one of the questions that is a big issue with the Affordable Care Act that was plaguing people who had pre-existing conditions. Mm-hmm. You are working in the oncology unit. What has that meant for people? What have you been hearing from the people that have been coming in and asking you about what's going to change?
This is incredible. It is allowing individuals who have since been turned down by insurance companies for years or dropped from their insurance plans to now be able to get care that's affordable and insurance coverage that was previously not available to them. It includes cancer diagnoses. It includes diabetes, COPD, CHF, everything. And that even covers the self-insured. This is a law that goes into effect January 1st. It's already in effect for those under the age of 19. And as of January 1st, 2014, no one can be turned away for a pre-existing condition.
When we were interviewing you and Keisha Humphreys, who is, what is her title?
She is the Via Christi Oncology Service Line Administrator.
Okay. Let's listen to a little bit of tape about what Keisha told us about this.
And then the other wonderful thing about this, again, it takes me back to my background, clinical trials are covered for patients. And that is a blessing because currently one of our biggest problems with placing a patient on a clinical trial through the National Cancer Institute is the fact that they can't go on because their insurance will not allow it. And we are where we are today in the treatment and the survivors that we have been able to help on that journey because of the fact they were in clinical trials and we have changed our treatment. I'll never forget being a brand new nurse on the floor 20 years ago. And when I gave chemotherapy, I came with my bag of chemo in one hand and a trash can in the other, because I knew as soon as I hung that chemo, they were going to be nauseated and throwing up. Now we have these great medications. There's no trash can. That it's over in the corner with the hand sanitizer, and that's a great thing.
That's a pretty moving testament. But she did mention when we were talking that some of the cancer drugs that are very expensive may not be covered under the Affordable Care Act. Tell me about that.
There's still a lot of debate on that, on what's going to be covered and what's not going to be. It's kind of a difficult subject to get into because it's another one of those things that we're just not quite sure about yet. But the standard of care, those that are generally accepted across the nation as given treatments for patients, will be covered just as previously.
So do you think that this is going to really prevent people from getting to stages that 3 and 4 and above?
That is our hope, and that is our goal. With our what Via Christi has created with our navigation program is anyone that comes through the marketplace and the enrollment process with us, they then get education and guidance on colon screening, mammograms, all of the cancer screening and preventative services that are currently available, because those are going to be now provided at no cost to the individual as of January 1 with insurance coverage, which is huge. Any individual can go and get a mammogram once they hit the appropriate age, and we can get them diagnosed if, unfortunately, they are found to have something. So not only that, we're catching them at earlier stages. We're getting them the coverage they need when it comes to treatment that can cost upwards of $100,000. And then on top of that, they will have an oncology nurse navigator that will guide them through the system afterwards.
Have you had any problems with your advice and your navigation since October the 1st?
In regards to the oncology navigation or insurance navigation?
I guess I don't really know the difference.
In regards to the insurance navigation, yes, I have met with a number of individuals. Unfortunately, I'm having the same problems that many of our consumers are having in regards to getting through the website. But I have talked to an individual from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services today. She's just saying the same thing that Sheldon said. Hang in there. Be patient with us. Get those question answers now. Your questions answered now. Learn what you can. And then here in a couple of weeks, we'll be ready to go.
We had, let me give the phone number real quickly. It's 316-978-6700. 316-978-6700. We're taking your calls tonight. And if you don't call, we'll sit here and talk because we have plenty to talk about ourselves. But we would like to hear from you. This is, this is Kansas. And our navigation, our insurance companies, everything's a little bit different in the state of Kansas than it is in other states. So we do have a caller that we're going to ask who has a question. It's CJ from Wichita. What's your question?
Hi, Eileen. Yes, I heard the caller, Ken, and I appreciate what he brought out. However, what I'm wondering about, even with Medicare and disability payments, should we go to the website to look for dental? Because dental is not covered by either one of those sectors.
No idea. What do you guys? Joel? Joel Rutledge.
Yes. Eileen, the caller has a good point there. There are a lot of points that we're needing to find a continuation of coverage. That's part of what the PPACA tried to do, but there still are some holes. That is a possible use of the exchanges, and it would be a good thing for people to do is look at that. I would recommend that you wait a while if you're looking for dental and vision coverage, because there are so many people right now looking for primary health, but that will be a good opportunity. There's also a lot of opportunities that most people just are unaware of that already exist in the private markets as well.
And the PPACA, sorry, Carla, go ahead.
Yes, and that's one other thing I wanted to bring up. Because we're not a large city like Oklahoma or Kansas City, sometimes some of the more urgent services that we're needing to keep our health in form are not provided to us.
Well, I quite frankly, as a professional in the insurance field, I would have to disagree. I think that across the nation, we're seeing the same thing. And I see that Maggie's nodding her head also from the health side. There's a lot of problems with getting that continuation of coverage, getting some basic services and some of the preventative services that are drastically needed. And that was a big goal of the PPACA. I think that it's going to help improve those services for people. And there's a number of areas we'll discuss as we go along tonight.
Excellent.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, CJ, for calling. We also have a call from Haim in Wichita. Haim, what is your question?
Hi, I insurance, and each year my own single insurance. I work in a small company of like 4 or 5 people, so they don't cover my insurance. Each year it bumps up a lot, and you know, like 10%, and especially when I have kids. I got a letter from Blue Cross Blue Shield that they said that next year I will not need to buy in the exchange. They offered me insurance coverage for next year. It will be about $700 a month for cover my family. Kind of high. So I wanted to know if I go to the exchange, will it be more expensive? Will it be cheaper? I hear it's a certain percentage of your income. So this is what is confusing. You know, you cannot go online nobody can go online.
Well, there are problems with that. Jaime, this is Joel. There are a lot of options for you, and I believe that you're going to find that through the exchanges you will have some coverage that gives you options. None of the insurance companies have a corner on the market, and so you're going to be able to look at two different carriers on the exchanges. You're going to look at different offerings from both of those, and there are private offerings out there as well. So regardless of where you fall on the range, there's something for everybody. Now, in terms of financial support, if you're at a point of 400% of the federal poverty level or under, there are forms of financial assistance available through the exchanges for most persons.
And this is Sheldon. Let me just add something. You're right that right now it is very difficult to get on the healthcare.gov website to get a price quote, but there is another place you can go. The Kansas Insurance Department has a website at www.insureks.org. And on that website, they have a cost calculator where you can put your information in and get some price quotes and an idea of what level of tax credit you might be eligible for depending on your income. And those prices are pegged to the actual prices of the plans that will be sold in the Kansas marketplace. And so you should be able to get a pretty good idea of what this might cost you even before you get to the healthcare.gov site.
We have a Twitter question coming up, but I also want to bring up the tax credit chart that you have, and we'll look at that and try to explain who gets what and who falls in what income, and we'll try to explain a little bit of that. But we also have a Twitter question from Kelnets, and the question is, what do you know about changes in mental health coverage for Kansans? Do you know, Maggie, can you take that one?
This is Joel. Actually, the Affordable Care Act does improve the access to that. There have been a lot of health policies over the years, insurance policies, that did not have adequate coverage for mental health. The Affordable Care Act has, as part of its basic services component, does have that as part of it. So all health policies will now have to have that type of coverage. Eventually, even the grandfathered plans will be required to have those. So there is a lot of changes coming down the pike. There's already a lot of them in force, and the insurance companies, by and large, have already adapted to most of those requirements. So you should have those available.
So this is Maggie. Just to reinforce what Joel was saying, so no matter what insurance you choose, you will have those mental health services available because of the essential health benefits now, which is an incredible opportunity that has been provided through the Affordable Care Act. So it's just one of those 10 essential benefits that everyone is required to offer as of January 1.
Just a reminder, the phone number here is 316-978-6700. And you can also reach us on Twitter and that is at KMUW. The hashtag is ACA Answers. ACA stands for Affordable Care Act. And we have a caller from Wichita, and I believe it's Candy. Candy, what is your question?
Hi, yes. I was wondering who will have to pay the penalty if they do not have health care. Is it those already who have health care but not the government health care, or just anyone who does not have health care at all?
Sheldon?
Hi, this is Sheldon, and the penalty applies to people who choose not to buy insurance. And we're talking about private insurance plans. And so when you talk about government health care, that is not what this plan is about. So what the Affordable Care Act does is it establishes a new marketplace where some people will be able to buy private health insurance coverage. You can buy within that marketplace. You can buy outside that marketplace through the avenues that are available today to buy coverage. If you don't get coverage as of January 1st, then you will pay a fine. And the fine is $95 or 1% of your income in this first year. In the second year, it'll be $325 or 2% of income. And then in year three and beyond, it'll be $695 or 2.5% of income.
Hmm. To clarify what Sheldon was saying there, this is Joel. They're also, I think the caller was looking for what types of coverage will justify not having to hit that. If you have Medicare, if you have Medicaid, if you have a private insurance policy, if you have an employer-sponsored policy, or if you go on the exchanges, any of those will qualify to keep you from having to have those, provided that it provides the basic benefits that are required under the law.
Right, and all the plans that are sold on the marketplace will provide those benefits.
Yes.
Let's talk.
All right.
Thank you very much, Candy, for calling.
Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about these limits, the tax credit chart that we have. There is, if you're single, you can get subsidies if you make between $11,490 and $45,960. Tell me what this whole chart is about, Sheldon, if you don't mind.
Okay, so under the Affordable Care Act, certain people will get some help to pay their insurance premiums. And so there will be tax credits available on a sliding scale to people between 100 and 400% of the poverty level, which the numbers are showing on these charts. It's about $11,500 for an individual up to about $46,000. 400% of the federal poverty level is more than $94,000 for a family of four. And so we're talking about a substantial number of the people that will purchase insurance in the marketplace will get some help from the federal government to pay their premiums. People on the lower end of that income scale will get more. People on the upper end of that income scale will get less.
Okay, so but there is a group of people between the requirement income for Medicaid, correct?
That's correct.
And the lower end of this scale, which of course varies according to how many in your household. What happens with that group of people? Can you tell me also what
Sure.
those income levels are?
Sure. So the way this law was originally written in Congress, there were really two avenues for people to get insurance coverage. One was through private health insurance, which would be available to the people I just described who would be eligible for tax credits. And one was through an expansion of state Medicaid programs. Medicaid is a program that is available to low-income people, but it is not enough to just be low-income. You have to be low-income and fit into the right category, like being disabled or being a child or being a pregnant woman. If you don't fit into the right category, your income can be very, very low and not be eligible for Medicaid. Okay. And so the Affordable Care Act was designed to try to expand that eligibility level to get everybody below 138% of the federal poverty level into the Medicaid program. That was the one part of the law that the Supreme Court changed. The Supreme Court ruled that the federal government cannot require states to expand Medicaid. And as a result, it's now optional. And in the state of Kansas, our governor and legislature have chosen not to expand the Medicaid program. So we will have a large group of people, and the estimate is that it's about 100,000 people in the state of Kansas who will make too much money to qualify for the current Medicaid program, but not enough to qualify for tax credits to help them buy private insurance. And unfortunately, those people will find insurance coverage unaffordable, most likely, without that help, and will have to remain uninsured.
So the program as it was designed really can't work that well because everybody can't get into the system. Is that right?
Well, Eileen, actually the program as it was designed would work that well, but certain states across the United States have elected not to expand Medicaid. And when that decision is made, that is what has made the system inoperable. Until that point, those persons would have had coverage. So it really is a factor of the legislature, as Sheldon was saying.
And I just wanted, this is Sheldon again, I just want to add, I mean, this is a huge issue in the state of Kansas. More than half the people in Kansas that would have received insurance under this law would have received it through the expansion of the Medicaid program. And so we are leaving more than half of the people that would have been covered essentially aside and telling them they will not be covered.
Okay. Let's give out the phone number one more time, 316-978-6700. That's not one more time. My daughter used to say, you always mean 1,000 more times when you say one more time. It's 316-978-6700 at KMUW, hashtag ACA Answers. And we have a call from Lori in Winfield who has a question about her employer and the insurance that she's offered. Hi, Lori.
Hi, yes. How are you?
I'm good.
I'm employed and I make above the limit for any kind of subsidies, and I understand that. But my employer does offer health insurance. It's just very expensive and doesn't cover a lot. I'm wondering, can I go on the exchange and see if I can do better?
Yes, you definitely can. Unfortunately, if you're above the limit, though, you will not be eligible for the tax credits and subsidies, but you will definitely be able to review all of the plans available to you in the state of Kansas and then decide which is best for you to invest in.
If people don't get subsidies, is there a chance that it's still a better plan than they may have had before?
It could be, just because there's more options there.
Eileen, this is Joel. And in my experience working with business owners and workplace cases, there are a lot of times where individuals will find that a private policy, whether it's through the exchange or directly through an insurance company, is going to be a better resolution for their own particular situation. There are some who need that group coverage, but there are also going to be times. People should really check that out, because there are a lot of Kansans who believe that they don't fit under the guidelines for assistance, or they feel like they don't qualify in some way for the Affordable Care Act policies. And I really encourage everybody to, as the exchanges open up, to eventually get on the exchange, check that out, or work with a navigator or agent that can assist you.
Okay, we're going to take a very short break, and we'll be right back with KMUW's Affordable Care Act call-in show. The number is 316-978-6700.
This is 89.1 KMUW Wichita Public Radio, your connection to the world. It's 28 minutes past 6 o'clock. I'd like to remind you that the phone number for our call-in show, 316-978-6700. And if you are on Twitter, our handle is at KMUW.org, and the hashtag is hashtag ACA Answers. Support for KMUW comes from Aspen Boutique, a contemporary women's boutique featuring designer clothing, jewelry, shoes, and accessories. Located in the Blue Building at Douglas and Oliver, Aspen Boutique Individual Fashion since 1987, and Galaxy Business Equipment, offering Fujitsu scanner technology and document management solutions. More information on Galaxy and Fujitsu scanners at gbeinc.com. And again, that is at KMUW on Twitter.
Good evening and welcome back. You're listening to KMUW's Affordable Care Act live call-in show. I'm Eileen LeBlanc. I'm the news director here at KMUW. And I'm in the studio with three experts about the Affordable Care Act. Sheldon Weisgraw is director of the Health Reform Resources Project. And he came here, I believe, from Topeka today, right?
That's right.
Maggie Ward is with Via Christi Oncology Oncology Department. And she's also a navigator. She has gone through very extensive training that the government has offered so that she can help people navigate through the system.
That is correct.
And Joel Rutledge is an independent insurance agent who is here in Wichita and can represent a myriad of different insurance companies and counsel people on what's the best choice for their business or an individual also. Is that right, Joy?
That's correct. And I am likewise trained on the exchanges.
Okay. Okay. Our phone number is 316-978-6700. We're taking your calls, and we have one right now from Rick in Wichita on line one.
Hello.
Hi. What is your call? What is your question, I mean?
I was wondering if, for whatever reason, the Affordable Care Act is repealed. It's my understanding that the insurance companies will no longer be held to the quid pro quo agreement about covering people with pre-existing conditions and dropping people and all the good things that people think are good about the act, because that was a compromise the insurance industry made, making sure that everybody in the country was insured. I'll take my answer off the air.
Thank you very much.
Well, I think that's exactly right. I mean, first of all, I think it's very unlikely this law is going to be repealed. As long as President Obama is sitting in the White House, I think it's pretty unlikely he's going to sign a repeal. Nevertheless, you're exactly right. If the law went away tomorrow by some miracle, all those protections that it gives consumers and people with pre-existing conditions would no longer exist, and we'd be back to the system that we had before.
Can we back up? Now, Joel, you mentioned this when I was interviewing you before. Have not the insurance companies retooled for this?
And that's the one area where I would disagree with Sheldon on. The insurance companies have already adapted to the Affordable Care Act and the changes that have been made. And the longer that we go along and have more experience with the Affordable Care Act, people getting on the exchanges, it's going to cause problems for the insurance companies as well if we were to somehow miraculously end the PPACA. It is something that the companies the major ones have all come out and said that they support what has happened because they've already adapted to it. And I think it would be a huge problem for all Americans if that went by the by, because now you have a lot of people who have divulged health issues to insurance companies and other systems, but they would be thrown back into a system where that would now be held against them. It would not be a fair way to do this to the insurance companies or the individuals.
Okay, so what would happen if they said, let's put this on hold for a year?
Well, the some of the parts have been put on hold for a year with the requirements for
businesses.
Large businesses. However, the timeline is kind of irrelevant to what would happen overall. What we're talking about is if it were actually ended.
Okay. Let's take a Twitter question, not a quitter question. Is there any assistance if you get coverage through your employer?
Well, people who get coverage through their employer, generally their employer is picking up part of the premium for them. And so you're already getting assistance. And so the way this program works is if you get an offer of insurance from your employer, you're probably not going to be eligible to go to the marketplace and get a tax credit because your employer is already picking up part of the premium. And the Congress designed the program so that you could not turn that down and then ask the taxpayer to pay that for you. And so you already are getting help if your employer is offering you a policy.
Okay. We have a question. We have a caller, Steve from Wichita. We may have answered his question, but let's see. Steve?
Hello.
What is your question?
Well, the question is if I sign up for the program, and for instance, it's $100 a month, I pay it month by month, do I get my money back on April 15th?
This is Joel. There actually are two methods where the primary assistance kicks in, and it is considered a tax rebate. However, you can either take that up front on the exchanges, so it helps out each month, or you can take it on April 15th. Quite frankly, for most people, if you're needing that subsidy, you need to take it up front.
Right, and this is Sheldon. And so once you're determined what level of tax credit you're eligible for and you choose a plan, the federal government will send that credit directly to the insurance company, and then you'll be responsible for paying whatever that difference is.
Okay. All right, Steve, is that your question answered?
Well, so in other words, I really can't afford $100 per month. So does that mean that I really won't be paying $100 per month, or do I?
This is Joel. Steve, basically, it depends on your individual situation, and I would encourage you to, while you're waiting for the exchanges to open up enough to see what's available to you, go to the state insurance commissioner's website and use the tools there to see if you qualify. It won't be the definitive answer because it doesn't have the all-in-one stop that the exchanges have, but it does have all of the guidelines, and you should be able to fairly safely assess whether you would qualify for subsidies or not.
Right, and that's www.insureks.org.
And is there a phone number that people that are not online can call the state? Or did I just throw one at you?
Yeah, the insurance department absolutely has a consumer phone number, but I can't tell you what it is, Eileen.
Okay. We have a live blog on this also, and there's information that will be there after the broadcast and as we're going that might help you out. You just go to kmuw.org and you click live now, and you can see more information and some names and some numbers and some websites and some charts to help you out through this. The phone number is 316-978-6700. We're at KMUW on Twitter, which is the hashtag ACA Answers, Affordable Care Act Answers. I'm Eileen LeBlanc. I'm in the studio here with Sheldon Weissgraf from the Health Reform Resource Project, Maggie Ward from Via Christi Oncology, and Joel Rutledge, an independent insurance agent. And we want to know what questions you have. So I have one from an email question here, which is kind of about business. And this is from John, and he owns a business, but he has two full-time employees, himself and one other person, and he has three questions here. Can I pursue individual coverage under the ACA, or must I stick with my current business health insurance plan? Two, if I create an individual account on the ACA website, will that prevent me from also creating a business account so that he can explore both options? And are the subsidies for my business health insurance plan based on gross revenue or net income? Okay, who wants this?
I'll take that. Okay, this is Joel. This is something that I deal with day in, day out. And to start with the top of the list, I believe. No, just because you're a business owner or have a policy available there doesn't mean that you can't avail yourself of the exchanges. The second area, if you have two employees, we can do small group business coverage. So it's not necessary to have 30, 40, 50 employees in order to have that type of coverage. If, however, it's just the business owner and one other, if he were on to the exchange, that would preclude a group policy because there aren't two people minimum for that group policy. So with some exclusions, what he's talking about doesn't come into any limitations for him other than possibly the size of the group.
Okay. Eileen, this is Sheldon. Let me just add, I think the caller also had a question about revenues for his business and tax credits. And business revenues are unrelated to whether you're eligible for tax credits as a business. So small businesses are eligible for tax credits if they have less than 25 employees, if the average salary of those employees is less than $50,000 a year, and if the business pays at least 50% of the premiums. Okay. The revenues are not related to that.
Okay, so thank you very much for calling, and thank you very much, John, for your email question. We have Joyce from Augusta on the line. What is your question, Joyce?
I would just like to hear the 10 essential services that are required for all insurances listed.
Everybody's laughing here. Why?
This is Sheldon. Eileen, I give a lot of presentations on the Affordable Care Act, and Eileen had a whole bunch of my slides ready to show, and she doesn't have that one.
Okay.
So let me take a shot at it, and maybe some other folks can fill in some of the gaps.
We might be able to do it between the three of us.
Okay, 10 broad categories of services that must be covered. There's nothing really unusual here. If you have a group insurance policy, this will sound very familiar. Hospital care, physician care, emergency services, lab services, oral and vision care for children, rehabilitation and habilitative services. Help me out now, Maggie.
Behavioral and mental services, seven. Maternity and newborn, medications.
This is Joel. Prescription drugs, emergency services, preventative and wellness services, and
that's
chronic
10.
Disease management,
there we
including
go.
Diabetes, things like that. That's going to be the majority of those, but they're actually much wider in expanse than what that seems to indicate.
Right. Now, I should add that every policy will not necessarily cover all the exact same types of services under these broad categories. And so, for example, prescription drugs, plans will have different formularies and different prescription drugs that they cover, but all plans will have to cover a basic set of prescription drugs. And so what you'll need to do when you go shopping for insurance is check the plans that are available, make sure that the services that you need will be covered by those plans and the extent of that coverage. And that includes also things like the network of providers that the plan covers. Make sure if you have a particular doctor you like, that the plan you choose, that physician is in that plan.
And this is Maggie. That is actually one of the things you can be doing right now while we're waiting for the website to come up and work better for us. Figure out what is essential to you and your family on what coverage you want, whether certain prescription medications, certain preventative services, certain physician visits, and also the provider networks. Because if you have that figured out, it's going to make deducing which plan you're wanting to utilize and which ones to directly compare much easier in the long run.
Right. And again, this is Sheldon. I just want to add, that's all the same sort of information that all of us who have been buying insurance for years and years and years have had to have. So this is not new to the Affordable Care Act. What's new is that there's going to be a whole lot of people who didn't have those options who will now get to think about these things.
Exactly. It was never easy, was it? We're not throwing more confusion into it necessarily. We have a Twitter question. Is there any help for a medical expense that happened in July of this year?
Well, the short answer, and this is Joel, by the way, is that it depends on your situation. If you are signing up now for any of the policies through the exchange or for a policy beginning January 1 of 2014, no, it's irrelevant. If you're talking about coverage in between now and then, that can still be problematic. Mm.
And I might add, this is Sheldon, there are some circumstances if your income is low enough to qualify for Medicaid, where Medicaid can cover some previous expenses. That's not going to apply to a lot of people, but you should check that out and see if that fits your situation.
Now, unless there are, I'm sorry, this is Maggie, residual effects of that occurrence in July to where you're still needing services, whether it be occupational physical therapy or anything else, then as of January 1, if you get insurance under the Affordable Care Act, it will be covered.
Because it would be a pre-existing,
exactly,
wouldn't it? And so it's covered now. Okay. We have a call from Jay in Wichita, who has a question about his wife being covered, but not him.
Okay.
Jay?
Hello. My wife's employer, it covers her insurance, but they do not cover my insurance. How does that affect me going on the exchanges? Will it be our combined income that's considered here or my income alone?
This is Joel. And your income will be considered aggregate, but the opportunities available to you because you do not have coverage through an employer actually are increased. So while you may or may not have any subsidies available to you on the exchanges, and I would certainly check that out through the state or through the exchange. You also do have a lot of options through the exchanges or through private policies that are triggered because of the fact that you do not have employer-sponsored care available.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Jay, very much for calling. Our phone number is 316-978-6700. We are at KMUW. On Twitter, hashtag ACA Answers. We're going to hear a little bit of tape now from Joe Alkoff, who is the director of nursing at the emergency departments of Via Christi Hospitals here.
I think what we would all like to see is that the population, the general public, become educated on what resources are available to them so we get them to the right resource. It's not that we don't want people here. We'll take care of them when they get here. But, you know, they're going to get probably faster care if they go to, say, an urgent care, if they just have a flu or a cold or something. So if you can get that taken care of with your primary care doctor, that's your first entry point. That's great. You may wait here because in the emergency department, you're always going to take the most acute or the most ill patient first. So if you're just coming in with a flu or a cold or something, you may fall to the bottom list. So if you're in the right environment, you're going to get the timely care you need.
So, Joseph Akif there from the emergency department, I say emergency room, he says emergency department because I'm just used to saying the old. But people have been using the emergency departments of hospitals for health care. The system is a little bit out of whack in that people who have not had insurance have waited and waited and waited until the last moment to go to the hospital, and they end up in the emergency department, and then it's more expensive, they're sicker. We have an imbalance here. Is the Affordable Care Act designed to address any of these problems?
This is Joel. Actually, it is. This has been an ongoing problem for a long time. A lot of the hospitals have been dealing with it. A lot of the insurance companies have been dealing with this. But one of the components of the Affordable Care Act is to provide some essential basic services. However, people do need to realize that some of those essential services, including emergency room services, may be subject to a separate deductible, may be subject to additional costs if they are using it improperly. More and more, the laws and the needs of both hospitals and insurance companies are beginning to align a little bit to encourage people to seek an appropriate level of care.
An appropriate level of care can go from actually just going to see a primary care practitioner to going to urgent care versus the emergency room. In so many instances, people have gone to the emergency room because that's all they have felt was available without insurance coverage. But the Affordable Care Act, just as you said, Joel, is allowing for those visits to the doctor, allowing for those flu and cold visits, as well as covering those flu shots.
And in addition, and this is Joel, since there are some primary basic visits available, the first visit per year, including some major checkups like mammogram and colonoscopy, et cetera, are available at no cost, nothing out of pocket, if you have a health policy in America now. That's required by the PPACA for all health policies.
But do those go against your deductible?
No. So the nice thing is that you can go in, though, and have those services, have that checkup, and stay healthy, or get a checkup if you think things are happening without cost. So Basically, we have the opportunity now to seek an appropriate level of care at your regular family physician instead of waiting because you didn't have the money till you needed to go to the emergency room.
And Eileen, this is Sheldon. I'd just like to add to that. I mean, one thing, millions of people not having health insurance has distorted our system. If you don't have health insurance, you don't have ready access to primary care and preventive care. And that's why people go to emergency rooms. It's going to take some time for that system to be worked out. And so people are still probably going to be showing up in emergency rooms for basic services until the system readjusts. We train more primary care providers. But one of the things the Affordable Care Act is doing is by providing insurance to most everybody, we will hope to work through some of those distortions and come out with a more rational healthcare system at the other end.
Let's take a call now from Jeremy in Wichita. Jeremy?
Hey, I'm a 29-year-old male. I don't know why I said that, but I haven't had insurance since, 2002, 2003, something like that. I'm not entirely keen on getting it. I've never really been sick, and I'm a student, and so I basically make zero money throughout the year. I'm just wondering, is there any hope for me? And also, as I was sitting here waiting, I was wondering, will it possibly cover things like acupuncture and stuff like that?
Well, I'm going to answer, there's no hope, Jeremy. Who wants to take this? I mean, one of the things that we hear a lot in the media is that they want a lot of young, healthy people to sign up for the Affordable Care Act. So what is the answer to Jeremy's question?
Jeremy, this is Sheldon. You have choices here. And so, you know, at the bottom line, you have a choice of either buying insurance or if you choose not to, you will pay the fine. The fine in the first year is $95 or 1% of your income. So it's not a great fine. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that you can't get a year's worth of insurance for $95. And so if that's your choice, that's okay. On the other hand, you will remain uninsured. If you're playing basketball and you break your ankle, that can cost you $10,000 to get worked out. And hospitals will take care of you regardless of your ability to pay. They will work out a payment plan with you. They will negotiate their rates, but they will try to collect their money. And so you're going to be on the hook for that. And if you can't pay that, all the rest of us will pick up the tab for you. The Affordable Care Act really is intended to enhance personal responsibility,
right.
Take people, mm-hmm. make people responsible for paying for their own health care. And so on the one hand, you do have a choice. On the other hand, you really should get insurance.
Okay. And to follow up with a couple things there, this is Joel. Jeremy, you're I believe you said you're 29. For people who are younger than that, there are some very, very, very basic level plans that are available. It's just catastrophic coverage.
Okay.
It makes it very affordable for folks who are in college. So, yes, there is hope. And to another thing that Jeremy mentioned right at the beginning, that he was a male, that brings up a good point. No longer will pre-existing conditions be considered, but also no longer will gender be considered. The factors that will come into play that the insurance companies are allowed to use are the age, zip code, tobacco usage, mm-hmm. hint, hint, and the family construction, how many family members need covered, et cetera.
Why is the zip code matter? Why is that? I know there's geographical differences. Is it because the things cost differently because real estate is different?
It's mm-hmm. partly because things cost different in different areas. Wichita, for instance, has for a long time had a higher per capita number of medical devices than most cities around the country of this size. However, in addition to some of the medical costs and things like that that can vary from zip code to zip code, there can be differences in terms of the genetic makeup. Mm-hmm. There can be different types of diseases available due to the environment in a certain area.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody counts beans better than an insurance company, and they know what's going to happen, what kind of losses they are at risk for in a certain zip code. So that's why that was introduced into it.
How does our zip code compare? How are we healthier?
We're pretty good here.
Yeah?
There are parts of the state I wouldn't say that about.
I knew I moved here for a reason.
Wichita is one of the cheapest in Kansas for through the marketplace for plans.
Yeah,
it's not the one of the cheapest for insurance on your house. I found that out because you have hailstorms here.
Yeah.
We're going to take a question from Jane in Goddard. Is that the way you say Goddard? Jane, what is your question?
Yes, I have an inexpensive plan through an employer that has lots of limitations and does not cover very much. Should I go on the exchange and sign up for something else, or is there a combination I can use with what I already have? It does not qualify for the Affordable Care Act, and I've been notified of that. So I guess I'd like to know what options I have.
Okay. Well, Jane, this is Maggie. It's not going to hurt to see what's available. Just because you go on and get enrolled and get an account and then look at the different things that are available doesn't mean you have to sign up for a marketplace account. So, yes, definitely look at your options, check what you have, and then make an educated decision. Don't just feel forced into one decision because that's what you've been used to or that's what your employer is providing, but look at what everything is out there that's offered to you and get what's best for you.
And further, as a lot of people are going to be in the same situation. This mm-hmm. is Joel again. And as the requirements of the PPACA progress and as people become more experienced with it, they're going to find that a lot of the employers that have grandfathered plans are going to realize that they don't have the protections that they thought they might have had through it. They're also going to realize that they're not providing some of the basics that their employees want. So to stay competitive with other companies in the field, employers are going to want to have policies that provide basic benefits for employees, and they're going to want to move to a system that provides those kind of benefits.
Yeah. This is Sheldon. I want to just echo what Joel just said. That's a really important point because we have been talking for the last 3 years a lot about what the reaction of employers is going to be to this law and whether mm-hmm. employers will drop health insurance coverage. Employers provide health insurance coverage for a reason. It's not necessarily out of the goodness of their heart, although hopefully in some cases it is. It's because it's a way to attract good employees. It's part of the entire package of salary and benefits that an employer offers. And as employees get more choices of different benefit packages, employers are going to have to step up to the plate and give their employees what they think they want.
Thanks, Jane, for your call. We have a Twitter question. This is a good one. Does Governor Brownback have another chance to reconsider Medicaid expansion, or has that ship sailed?
This is Sheldon. There is no deadline on the Medicaid expansion question. And so I'm expecting and hopeful that it is a bigger issue in the legislative session next year than it was this past year. One thing that we have lost by not expanding Medicaid in this first year is that Congress made this a very sweet deal for states. So the federal government is going to pay 100% of the cost of the expansion for the first 3 years. And so by giving up year one, we have given up 100% federal cost sharing. That doesn't mean we can't do it, but it means we gave up a pretty sweet package for that first year. But I'm hopeful that the legislature will revisit that issue this year and come to a better decision.
All right. Thank you. We have a call on line one. It's Susan from Wichita. Susan?
Hi. My question is, I currently have insurance, and it is a grandfathered plan. And I was expecting January 1, if we continued the plan, preventative care items like colon tests would be covered. But we just received our package of information, and it says that it provides minimum essential care, but under the preventative care, I know it's still subject to our deductible and the 20% coinsurance, which means, you know, $1,000 deductible and another $1,000 just to get a colon test.
Correct.
And I'm just wondering, does it really meet the minimum essential coverage just because it says it does?
Well, the minimum essential coverage is not necessarily tied to the all of the specific benefits. And plans may actually qualify under the requirements of the PPACA to be meeting the minimum essential requirements but not have lucrative enough coverage. They can compensate for that in another area, and maybe you don't have the benefits that you're looking for on the preventative side. Or in this case, it happens to be a situation that because it is a grandfathered plan, they're not required to make those changes. So that employer is eventually going to be under pressure by the marketplace trying to keep good employees to select a plan that has better offerings for their employees.
Yeah, and this is Sheldon, just to add to what Joel was saying. So basically what a grandfathered plan is a plan that hasn't changed since the law was passed 3 years ago. And so there's been no major changes in benefits or copays and deductibles. And those plans are grandfathered. They still meet the requirements. As soon as any major changes are made, those plans will no longer be grandfathered, and they will be expected to meet all the minimum requirements. And so there is a bit of a loophole in the law. As time goes on, there will be fewer and fewer grandfathered plans out there. But unfortunately, it sounds like you're in one of those situations where you will not have all the benefits of the Affordable Care Act until your employer changes that plan.
That's correct. And this is Joel. There's one other thing with the grandfathering. A lot of the employers that I work with are beginning to discover that they, because they have a grandfathered plan, they're expecting to have certain types of protections or certain types of leeway in what is offered. But most of the insurance companies have already adapted to the PPACA, and even the grandfathered plans often require or use those requirements. So there may not be any benefit to keeping a grandfathered plan. There might, but in a lot of the circumstances, employers are finding it's not beneficial to do so.
Okay, Susan, thank you very much for your call. You're listening to the Affordable Care Act call-in show on KMUW. I'm Eileen LeBlanc. I'm here with Sheldon Weisgraw, Maggie Ward, and Joel Rutledge. And we just have time for kind of a little bit of a, where do you think we're going next from each of you? What do you think will happen? What do you want to happen? Let's go with you, Sheldon, first.
Oh, I thought you would start with me. I was hoping you'd start with someone else. I am very enthusiastic about this. I'm very passionate about the change this law is trying to make. Is this perfect? Probably not. I mean, I'm trying to focus for the short term on hoping the federal government can get the marketplaces up and running. The states that did it themselves seem to be working better. And so I'm hoping the feds can catch up a little bit. Over the long term, I think this law just has huge potential to really make our health system work a lot better for a lot more people.
Okay. Maggie?
I couldn't agree with you more, Sheldon. There are a lot of glitches within the system, but we can't fix those glitches without going through it and identifying each of those and figuring out ways to fix them. My biggest thing, be patient, hang in there with us, because this does offer amazing benefits that our community has not always had. And now a lot of our individuals who previously would not be able to get certain items done can now receive the same health care that everyone else has.
And Joel?
Well, I'm a pragmatist both by nature and by necessity. As an insurance agent, my job is to advise my clients on what's best to do, not what I think is politically expedient. Let's not forget that the PPACA was developed with several primary intents in mind, and one of those was to offer affordable health care. Another was to offer protections for patients, including those that have pre-existing conditions. And my hope is that we will get past all of the politics on the state and federal level and get to helping people.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you very much for tuning in tonight. I'm Eileen LeBlanc. I'm here with Sheldon Weisgrau, Maggie Ward, and Joel Rutledge. And you guys have made this worthwhile, both you guys in the studio and you guys at home. Thank you very much. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
To keep me from thinking of mine.
This is 89.1 KMUW Wichita Public Radio, your connection to the world.